Amen. I appreciate the good songs and good singing. And again, we appreciate you all listening in. Hope that was a blessing. If you have your Bibles or just want to listen and follow along, I'm going to be starting off in Mark chapter 4. I'll be in Mark chapter 4 tonight. It's a very familiar scripture. I'm sure there's been a lot of better men before me to preach it. That's what I have felt like the Lord laid on my heart. In Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it said, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was a gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by a parable, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, and it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears, let him hear." And as I was reading this scripture, and the Lord was kind of speaking to me where he wanted me to be tonight, it's real simple. And if the Lord will help me, as we're in this time, we face our daily walk in our daily lives, whether it be in the workplace or as a mama facing raising her youngins, or as grandparents, they set standards for their children and their grandkids, their grand youngins. And I couldn't help, as I've heard preachers preach a lot on the different types of ground in this passage, and what it brings forth, I can't recall, and I'm sure it's just because I haven't heard as much preaching as I should, but I got to thinking about the sower, and I got to thinking about the seed he was sowing. And when I was younger, my grandfather, he come over a couple times, and he'd help my dad, and we prep for a garden, and we'd get out there. Of course, we'd weed and we'd disc and everything, clean up them weeds out of the garden, and prep that garden and fertilize, get everything prepped to sow that seed, to sow the ground, to plant for planting time. And I got to thinking about the sower and the seed. And the Lord asked me his question in my heart. I feel like this is what he'd ask. He asked me, he said, "What are you sowing in your life?" And I couldn't help but think, what are we sowing in today in our daily walk? As we meet the people we meet every day in and out of our daily walk, And I can't help but there's going to be people that I meet that my pastor might not get an opportunity to meet. And there's going to be people you can meet that I'm not going to get an opportunity to meet. And my question would be, what are you sowing as a sower? I believe everybody sows something in their life. I believe everybody, they're going to reach somebody. No man liveth to himself and dies to himself. Everybody, they're going to have a testimony. And my question is what's your testimony? And what are you sowing? What do people see in your life? And I can't help but think, as the sower went out and he just did his job, over in Luke chapter 8. It said he sowed his seed. The sower sowed his seed. 8 verse 5, Luke chapter 8 verse 5. It said, the sower went to sow his seed. And I couldn't help but think when I read that account from Luke that I have a seed to sow. I have something I have to sow. The Lord has given me something to sow. The Lord has given me a patch. The preacher preached on a little bit, hit it this morning a little bit about having your patch having a little section of area, and I believe that's right, a territory. And I want to ask is, what are you sowing in your territory? What are you sowing? You know, what fruit's going to come up from that seed? My grandfather, like I said, he would come over a couple times and he helped me and my dad and my other siblings. We'd get out there and we'd have them big wheeled cultivators we did by hand. We didn't have no fancy equipment. My grandfather, yeah, he'd get back there and he'd cultivate that and he'd get to running that thing. And then he'd show me how we did them potatoes and how you had to put them in just right so they come up. Like they were supposed to, and you mounded it and all, and I got to thinking that them potatoes can only bring forth potatoes, and that corn seed that you plant out in them rows of corn can only bring forth corn, and I can't help but wonder is what seed are you sowing, and what in your daily walk is what as you go forth. I mean, anybody you come in contact, you're going to sow something, whether it's just by the way you look, whether it's just by the way you present yourself, you're sowing something. And I couldn't help hearing the scripture. It said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." It's not our job. It's not our job to worry about what's going to happen with the seed once the seed is planted and once this. Once we've done our part, the somebody else might come and they might do the watering. You know, we know that the Lord gives the increase, but I believe that we're all a sower at some point in our life. It's what are we sowing? What kind of seed are we sowing? I also know, you know, once that seed gets to a certain point, it starts to lose its ability to really produce well, really bring forth something very well. And even if you plant in really good soil, sometimes if you let that corn seed sit too long, you let them taters sit too long, you know, they won't produce no sprouts, they won't produce no growth. And you know, I got to thinking about. How man's seed, it can only produce so much, and after a while, it won't be able to produce anything, you know. But I thank God that His seed never goes bad. I thank the Lord. And it doesn't matter. His seed will never fall. His seed will never not produce something. There will be something produced. It might not be what some people like, but it's going to produce something. It might fall on some people that say, "I don't want nothing to do with that." But I tell you what, it produced something there. It produced people pushing away from the truth. It produced something. You know, I can't help but think about the seed quality. You know, man's seed, it'll deteriorate. It'll degrade as the years go on. But I thank God, as the years go on, the Lord's seed gets sweeter and sweeter. I thank God as I see the growth in different individuals' walks and in my own walk personally, that the seed, the Lord gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go on. He's never left me nor forsaken me. He's never let me out to dry. I tell you what, He started this thing in my life, and He's going to see it through. He's going to see it all the way through to where I reach glory. And I can't help but think about the great quality of the Lord's seed, the different qualities. You know, the potential performance of the seed. Some seeds, they do last a little bit longer than other ones. As far as if you, you keep them dormant, you can keep them safe and you can keep them dry and they can last a little longer. But over the course of time, they'll all start to lose their ability to produce as well as if they were fresh. But the Lord's seed is always fresh. The Lord's seed is always there. I'm thankful that the Lord's seed never goes bad. Man's seed will eventually go bad. Well, it's guaranteed it'll all go bad. But the Lord's seed will never go bad. I often wonder whose seed we're really sowing. I often think about in our daily walk, whose seed are we sowing at that time? I know we all have our battles, and we all have our struggles and things. But how much do we let that affect us? And getting away and hindering the things we could be sowing in somebody else's life. And I know we all go through troubles and trials. Believe me, I understand that. But I often wonder how often do we let that get in our way? After we read about what the apostles went through and other men of God went through that were martyred to get us this book and this scripture written, to where we could read it and understand it, and the men that were martyred and killed and what they went through, yet they still persevered and pressed through and sowed and continued to work even up to the point of death. Yet we get a little hangnail and we get tired and we just want to scowl and say, everybody just needs to leave me alone today. I just don't feel like doing nothing. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, the apostles are met by a lame man, and he asks for alms, and he asks, you know, for things. And the apostles answered and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what I seen in that scripture was they didn't have, obviously, I mean, it's plain, it's pretty fair English. They didn't have money. They didn't have nothing to give them probably, but they all they had probably with them was clothes on their back. Yeah. And here's a man who couldn't walk. And he asked them for some things, and they said, "We don't have nothing to give you except this." And they said, "As what we have, we'll give thee. Rise up and walk." And they healed the man. I couldn't help but hear they sowed that. They sowed. What they were doing is they were sowing what they had. As this sower went out in the field, and Luke, like I talked about, he said, sowed his seed. He sowed what he had. He sowed what he had in the ground that was presented unto him. And sometimes the ground isn't always going to be the best. Sometimes you're going to have the rocky ground. Sometimes you're going to have the thorns that's going to prick you and it's going to kind of hurt maybe. And sometimes you're going to have really good ground. And sometimes there's not going to be ground at all, hardly. It don't seem like it's going to be hard and rocky. But can I tell you can sow what you have. Sowed what the Lord's given you. Sowed what he's done in your life and when it's in your heart. And when you do those things, that's when the Lord can work. He can work in those areas. Sometimes the ground may seem a little hard and you throw the seed down. And I got to thinking, farmers, when they sow and they plant crops and everything, they can't control the weather. They can't control what the Lord does with the weather. All they can do is they can plant and they can prep and they can do the best they can with what they have. And then the weather takes care of the rest. And I got to thinking, the Lord is the weather. He controls the weather, and we know that. I got to thinking, if we just take and we just sow what we have in the best of our ability and just get out there and sow and sow and sow, and what the Lord does with it is His business, and we take care of what's in our area and what's in our patch, and we worry about that, what we're supposed to, instead of worrying about what old so-and-so is doing. And I can't believe I wouldn't sow my seed like old so-and-so would sow his seed. It don't matter. You're not in so-and-so's area. I tell you, if you stay and you sow in your area and you sow and you sow and you allow the Lord to do, and the Lord will take and he'll bring somebody by to shower a little bit of water and shower a little bit of fertilizer and shower a little bit of this and whatever he needs, see fit. And then the Lord will give the increase. We're so caught up in today about who's doing what and who's doing this, and they're not doing it exactly about how I would do it. Can I tell you, the Lord really doesn't give a flip about your opinion on what so-and-so's doing. The Lord wants to see you work in your area. He wants to see you sow in your area. He wants to see you put forth in your area. So then you can see the Lord work in that area. And tell you what, and then when you see the Lord work in that area, you can't help but shout. You can't help but bring forth praise to the Lord and say, look what the Lord's done in my area. Can I tell you, if you would be more focused on that and seeing the Lord work in those things and what you're going through rather than what's so-and-so's doing and what's grandma doing and mom doing and aunt so-and-so over there. No one cares. Can I tell you, they live how many hours away? They might even live next door. It don't matter. Can I tell you, if you just sow what you have to sow, they'd get out there and then with them satchels and they'd pick up a handful and they'd sow. Can I tell you, if you'd get out there and you'd sow and throw it out, whatever ground it falls on, can I tell you, that's the Lord's will it falls on. If it falls on the stony ground, for whatever reason, the Lord has a purpose in that. If it falls on the good ground, He has a purpose in that. If it falls on the thorny ground, He has a purpose in that. Can I tell you, if you just get out there and sow your seed. Do what you're supposed to do. Worry about that. And stop worrying about everybody else. We'll see the blessings of God. We wouldn't see such critical spirits in the church. We wouldn't see, I can't believe so-and-so was doing this in the church house. Or, I can't believe so. I seen him at church and then I seen him down here the next day. I don't care. That's between them and God. Stay in your area and sow your seed. Do what you're supposed to do. Follow God in what you're supposed to do. And worship Him and how you're supposed to worship Him. Don't worry about nobody else. It's not about nobody else. It's about you and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about you and how the Lord is working in your life for a certain area. We're like the preachers preached this morning. We're all part of a body. And can I tell you that the hand is not going to function the same as the foot. The right ear is not going to function the same as the left ear. He might not hear the same as what the left ear is hearing. But can I tell you, they both hear the way they're supposed to hear if they're both lined up and with and right with God. And can I tell you, The right arm isn't gonna always see what the left arm is doing necessarily. The right arm might be supposed to be hammering. Maybe the left arm's holding a shield. Now what if that right arm's supposed to be hammering and it said, I want to hold the shield, or I want to do this. I don't want to be hammering. Then the work ain't never going to get done. And then the left arm says, I don't want to hold the shield. I want to go play in the water because the water's nice and cool. Then the defense is down. God has us in a place for a purpose. He has us in our field for a purpose. And what we sow and how we sow it is between you and God. But can I tell you, it's going to make a difference whether you do it. The sower went out and sowed his seed. He didn't sow his neighbor's seed. He didn't sow his grandpa's seed. He didn't sow his mama's seed. He sowed his seed and what he had. Brother at the church, he might be a little farther along than you. He might be a little farther behind you. But if he sows what he has and you sow what you have, can I tell you, it could come together and the Lord could bless it and bring it together and it could be a bountiful crop. But if we sit there and we criticize and are skeptical about, they don't have as much as I, or maybe they have more than I and I don't understand why. And we get critical and skeptical about what's going on. And we don't focus on what we need to focus on. We don't sow what we need to sow. Can I tell you? That the harvest will not be as bountiful as it could be. We're living in a time where it's getting harder and harder to have meetings, and it's getting harder and harder. They're coming up with more and more excuses of why groups can't get together and things like that. People, they're not worried about that. They're worried about stuff getting taken from them, and they're worried about their rights and things, and I understand I'm for my rights, but can I tell you there's souls at stake tonight? There's people's lives at stake tonight that'll die and end up in eternity in hell, and we're more worried about who's going to come in and take what from us than our children's lives and our family members' lives. Can I tell you, we would leave it with God and sow what we're supposed to sow and do what we're supposed to do and leave the rest with God, we could live in peace with each other. We could live in peace in our hearts and in our souls, knowing that in the God that created this thing, that started this thing, spoke it into existence, there's enough power in His words when He said, "Let there be light," there was light. And if we would leave it with Him and have total assurance that the Lord was going to handle it, besides being all worked up about what's going to be taken and this and that and what they're going to do next. And can I tell you that the Lord's in control of it all? Can I tell you, I know it was a shame in a worldly's eyes. They say over 400,000 people died of the COVID-19, whatever. And can I tell you, I understand that that's a sad day. Those are family members. Those are people's women. There's fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and all so on and so forth, grandkids. But can I tell you that it didn't catch the Lord off guard? Can I tell you, way back then, that the Lord knew that this was going to come to pass? Can I tell you, He said, it doesn't make sense. Why would He let it happen? Can I tell you, it's for His purpose? Can I tell you, He's in control? He's never caught Him off guard one time. He's never said, "Whoa, I didn't see that person dying. I didn't know they were going to die today." That's never caught Him off guard one time. Can I tell you, people... And they're more worried about what the local news says and what the social media says and all that says rather than get out sowing your seed and praising God where you're supposed to be at, being getting in the field and working it up, tilling the ground, planting the seed, and getting things ready so the Lord can give the increase. Scripture says one man sow plants, one man waters, the Lord gives the increase. If that sower's not out sowing, if that water is not out watering, how can the Lord give the increase? I know He's God and He can do it, but He set this thing up. There's an order to it. And if we're not out fulfilling our duties as ambassadors of Christ, why are we surprised when He doesn't show up? We're living in a day. They've been saying it for a lot longer than I've been around. You would have asked me 10 years ago, "You see the Lord's return in your lifetime?" I would have said, "No, not a chance." You ask me now, it's a different story. I don't know. No man knows the time or the day. I know. I know what the Scripture says. But there's an order that comes that has to play out for everything to happen that's supposed to happen. And the way it's going, I believe there's a possibility that I could see the Lord's return. Absolutely. Whether I will or not, only the Lord knows. But in my heart, I believe that's a possibility. There's been preachers say it that have come and gone before me. "He's coming back. Are you ready?" And I used to be one of those skeptical ones that said, "There ain't no way He's coming back anytime soon. You can go ahead and preach it, that's fine, but there ain't no way." But I find myself, the older I get, the more and more I realize that the Lord could come back at any time. And at any time, there could be the great trumpet and the sky open up and we see the Lord's return. And we're so wrapped up in social media and the news and what everybody else is doing, that we're missing the boat. We're missing the people in the fields that were walking right by. The seeds that need to be sown that aren't getting sown. The seeds that need to be watered that aren't getting watered. And the ground that needs to be cultivated is not getting cultivated. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves. We're living in a time where we see more and more people dying. And it seems like we're sugarcoating it. Well, they weren't that bad of a person. Well, let me tell you what, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, people I was around, they would have said that Jonathan Hall, he's not too bad of a fellow. He ain't never killed nobody. He ain't never done this and done that, and he's a pretty good old fella, pretty good, you know, they got that country talk, pretty good old boy, you know, and he's not that bad of a fella. But can I tell you that if I would have died 10 years ago, I would have ended up in hell, spending an eternity in damnation and fire, and the Lord would have been just to do so. But can I tell you that the Lord come by my way and sent some old preachers by my way, and I heard the truth taught, and I heard the truth preached, and the Lord took that, and they sowed that, and them preachers sowed that, and another preacher come by, and he watered that, and I seen some other men, good teachers and just friends, and they were living right, and I seen some good teachers and they were teaching right, and they did a little bit more, watering, and can I tell you, and the Lord come by and he gave the increase. Can I ask you tonight, are you sowing like you just need to? Are you sowing half-heartedly? When they got out there and sowed, they sling that seed. They get out there and they sling that seed. What happens if they only did it half-heartedly? Halfway slung it. That seed wouldn't get out as far as it needed to. Are you watering like you're supposed to? Maybe you're a waterer. Maybe you're supposed to come by and give a little water. Seed's been planted, and you give a little water. Bring it back to the forefront of the people's minds that got the seed planted. Give a little water. So the Lord can do His work in their heart and bring forth repentance in their life and show them that they're dying and going to hell. Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Or are we so caught up in mainstream media? We're over here. The Lord's not over here doing this. Oh no, what am I going to do? But so often I hear people talking about, oh, what are we going to do now? They're going to come try to take this. They're going to come try to do that and this and that. And oh my goodness, what, can I tell you, this has never caught the Lord by surprise. These victories and wins in man's eyes have never caught the Lord by surprise. He's right, brought them up and He's brought them down. Father, tonight, Lord, I thank You for an opportunity to preach Your Word, Father. I pray, Lord, that we not only be hearers, Lord, but doers of the Word also, Father. I pray, Lord, that this bless somebody, Lord, and encourage somebody. I want to be an encouragement, Father, Lord. Lord, we can only see a change, Lord, if we put forth the effort to. I know You're in control, Lord, and I know You can do anything, Father, but You choose to do it through us as Your children. And Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this be an encouragement to some daddy or mama or grandma, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that it help the church, Lord, and we may grow, Lord, and lift You up, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You get all the glory, honor and glory in it tonight. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for it. In Your name, amen.